This is episode 163, recorded on June 6th, 2014. Packard pokes at MacGyver of Orgasm Machines.
You can help support and promote the show by purchasing our merchandise at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can choose from a variety of different items like hoodies, hats, and bears. Oh my! Put a Packard Pokes At mug in your hands today.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the middle of nowhere is is Dave. You're damned.
You just say nowhere because you can never remember where I actually am.
Dave, this is not water I'm drinking in this coffee cup tonight. That's why I can't remember anything. Actually, it's coming from Michigan. How you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm quite well.
Very good. And joining us from the middle of the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
History shows again and again how nature points up the folly of men. Godzilla.
I thought they were talking about this show because it was
Packard shows again and again how nature points up the folly of men. That
right
works.
There you go. Right. I forgot to take off my glasses actually. So.
Vanity.
Oh yeah. Well. I only need those to read. And so. That's why the screen makes everything bigger. You know. So. Anyway, we have some.
What were you watching before the show?
Well, you know what they say about when people wear too much, you have to wear glasses. So.
Let's see your palms, Packard.
They're clear. Let's get to the first story for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Earth is not alone out in the solar system. There are a lot of other planets that are Earth-like that we are discovering out in space. Some of them are just a little bit too small. Some are a little bit too big. And now they've found one that is huge. They're calling it the Godzilla of planets. I'm just waiting for them to find the King Kong of planets next and maybe the Eiffel Tower of Earths, I guess. I don't know. But this... It's a pointed Earth. It floats to the sky. It's this particular Earth they numbered a mega Earth. It's an exoplanet. It weighs 17 times as much as Earth does now, and so I'd say it'd be about maybe the size of Jupiter. That's just my guess. But this particular planet goes around its sun not once a year like ours does, but it goes around the sun. It's its own star rather. Once every 45 days. So if you had a birthday on this thing, you'd be quite old by the time you came out here. So, I mean, that's... Could you just imagine that? You know, it's like, how old are you? I'm 10,000 years old. But you don't realize that these people, if this planet was inhabited, would have days that go around once every 45 days. So they could theoretically be 1,000 years because their days would be quite fast. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is really interesting because planets this massive, for this, we really didn't think that planets could be this large without them being a gas giant. Mm-hmm. And this is actually a rocky surface. So where there are rocks, there's the potential for life.
Right.
And it's 18,000 miles in diameter, which is huge compared to Earth, which is only 8,000 miles. Well, I say only 8,000 miles, but I suppose compared to Kepler-10c, it is.
Right.
And yes, this planet is called Kepler-10c. It is orbiting a star called Kepler-10.
Mm-hmm.
And Kepler-10 is actually very close in size to our own sun. It's slightly smaller,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty much the same. So there are a lot of similarities between this quote-unquote mega-Earth and our home planet of Earth.
Right.
Yeah, there are also a lot of dissimilarities. The gravity there is 3 times as much. It's much mm-hmm. larger. Obviously, the orbit is 45 days as opposed to our, 365.3 days.
Right.
And it formed 11 billion years ago.
Yes. It's like 3 billion years shorter than the length of the Big Bang.
Exactly. So that's really interesting that something that large and rocky had formed at that point. And it's massive enough that it could potentially have retained its atmosphere. So we'll have mm-hmm. to see if that's the case or not. I mean, it was discovered back in 2011, and only now are we discovering that it's actually a rocky material as opposed to being a gas giant.
Right.
As we originally suspected, because the way that the space telescopes work, they can see the object and the size, but it takes a lot of further analysis to determine what it's actually made of.
Yep, because our technology is advancing enough that we can actually just start detecting the rays. Because if what I understand is the way they determine if a planet has atmosphere or not is by the light that's coming through the atmosphere, and it's bouncing off at certain wavelengths, and then when it hits our telescopes, that's how it's determined if there's an atmosphere or not.
I mean, that's one of the ways, and that's a pretty basic. I mean, they yeah. also have to account for redshifting and.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes,
Doppler effect that they have to take into account to figure out what it actually is. But
right.
but yeah, I mean, as a basic premise,
yeah,
that is one of the ways. But yeah, this is really a cool discovery. It opens up a whole, pardon the pun, a whole new world of exploration for life in the universe, because it opens up the possibility of a lot of other planets that we didn't consider in the past being
right.
potential for having light. And that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. Dawkins Dog in the chat room, he says, that's what they want, a planet in the Goldilocks zone, but what are the chances of finding a planet with 3 bears on it? So.
Yeah, we still haven't found one of those.
Still haven't found one of those. You know, you touched on something that was really interesting. The planet there, because it's so massive, the gravity is so much stronger. Let's just say, for example, let's just say that we discovered that there was life there. And let's just say they could theoretically come here. You know, like if we go to the moon, for example, we take something that's fairly heavy or would be normally heavy for us here on Earth. Let's say like a small satellite or whatever. And we go to the moon. We can move it around with greater ease because the gravity source is much lower. So we're like a small version of Superman on the planet, or on the moon, rather, not the planet. But if we were to bring somebody from this planet, which has 3 times the gravity to our planet, if they existed, for example, they could probably pick up a car like an ant would pick up a leaf or something. You know, they'd be incredibly strong.
Because perhaps they'd probably look nothing like what you'd imagine, though.
Oh yeah, no. But I'm just saying. I'm just spitballing. As you know, let's just say that they did look like us, and if they came to this planet, and they could theoretically lift stuff that was we consider to be extremely heavy with probably great ease, because their muscle density would probably be so much stronger.
We are talking about Kepler and not Krypton, right?
Right. I'm just theoretically, you know. I'm just saying theoretically, you know. If it were possible, because we would go to, if we go to the moon, we're a little stronger there, but we'd be super weak if we went to like a planet like that, because our
Krypton.
Right. Exactly. Well, not exactly like Krypton. I'm just saying. I'm not saying the sun is giving them more powers.
The powers came from the sun.
Right. I'm saying that.
It's
I'm
like
just
Krypton.
I'm saying the gravity. Like if we went to that planet, the gravity would be so. If we went to that planet right now,
I have a book.
You have a book. If we went to that planet, we wouldn't be able to live on that planet because the gravity would crush us. Because
yes.
But I'm just saying, if there was life forms there and they came here,
like Kal-El.
Right, like Kal-El. Oh my gosh! Not gonna let me forget last week's show, are you?
Hey, Connie, your thoughts.
Connie, your thoughts.
God, my thoughts are Kal-El. No. The fact that this star system had two solid planets, including this like lava-like planet,
yes,
it wouldn't be crazy to think that there could be a third that's a true mirror of Earth, is
right.
One of the things that I read about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's interesting. We are looking at, you know, the scientists are looking at the fact that, yeah, this is something that shouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were ignoring it, you know, kind of not ignoring it, but they weren't looking at it seriously and like, oh my gosh, look at this, you know. It should, like Dave said, it should have had gaseous clouds on it, like
right.
Jupiter and Saturn and Uranus and Neptune.
Yeah.
They all have rocky centers, and, you know, especially given the age of this. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
If it has a rocky outer layer, does it have a nougat center? No, I'm
creamy center.
Creamy center. No, you mentioned the lava world. That one, the planet that they were talking about there, that's within that same solar system. It goes around the planet, their sun there, once every 20 hours. So that makes Mercury look like a slowpoke by comparison.
It's like a giant jawbreaker.
It is. It's a little hot on the outside.
I just imagine that planet screaming, "Wee!
Wee!" You don't even have to hold it. You have to hold onto the ground or whatever rocks left there, and just like you're hanging off a car. Ah!
So. And it's been doing it for billions and billions.
Billions
of years.
And billions of years. So. Anyway, any last thoughts on that, Connie?
Godzilla.
All right.
Kal-El.
All right, let's get on to the next topic for this evening.
I want my Superman, damn it.
Damn it.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
One thing that we like to talk about when we talk about not the Onion News stories is that sometimes we talk about the most absurd things we come across on the internet, and this one is something that is really, really absurd, but it's really quite funny, and it's something no one wants to talk about. Sex machines! So we came across an article about how Amazon actually sells sex machines. I mean, you think that when you think of sex machine, you're thinking of a dildo, a vibrator, something like that. No. No. These are not your typical sex machines. These are things you'd see like in, if you're into that type of thing, heavy pornography, where they get like these gigantic machines that they stand literally up right at the end of the bed because they're so huge, and they have attachments to do a variety of things. Now, what's funny about this particular story is that it's not so much the items that we're going to talk about, the things that they said in the reviews. And there's this one machine. I'm just going to read one here. It looks like a drill coming from the side, standing upright. And it's called the Caesar 2000 Love Machine. And it's $110. The people give
is that
these,
voltage or price?
That's voltage.
It's voltage. It's a Caesar 2.0.
Yeah, it's a Caesar 2.0. Now I'm gonna read one of this. This one gave this particular unit a 3 out of 5. He says, "Hi, I have owned my machine for about 2 years now. I am of a very inventive nature and have found ways to make this work for me with other attachments and dongs. You don't have to just stick to the dong that comes with it. I found on another website a vacuum lock adapter to put on the tip of the arm that will accommodate any vacuum lock dong of your choice. I have also taken it a step further by creating my own vacuum lock attachments by using a sturdy Apple core." Oh my gosh, he's using Apple cores. You can pretty much
oh, that's the least of the
that's price. Yeah. You can pretty much make the toy into a vacuum lock
inside you.
What's that, Dave?
I said it's hard to spell when this thing's inside you.
Uh-huh. You can pretty much make any toy into a vacuum lock with this method. As far as the Caesar machine, it's not very well thought out. I wish there was a way to fold this thing down for easier storage. It's quite heavy and bulky to just sit at the end of the bed at all times, not to mention you can't have privacy. I have disassembled it and hid it in separate parts in various closets since I have a child, and I don't want her to question what the heck this thing is or when people come over. Apart from it being heavy and non-bendable for storage, the thing does the job. The sensation of having a real fucking experience is definitely there. I wish these designers would consult us women more with for ideas how to manufacture sex machines and not just put out a product out there with limited options and sort of infertile state. Oh my God. An apple core. I don't want to know what she's doing with an apple core. Oh my gosh.
That's what the cement room with the manacles in her basement is for.
Yeah, and the whips and the chains.
And the vat of lye.
And the vat of, yeah, the vats there.
Yeah,
Dave, your thoughts?
I think all of these are amazing. It's amazing to me how it seems as though from reading these that most of the people who are buying these machines seem to be engineers of some sort.
Uh-huh.
I mean, another for the same product says, great machine, only problem is the lower bearing shifts and moves towards the top bearing. This creates an... So they go through this whole easy fix, disassemble machine, remove upper bearing, reposition lower bearing, measure distance from top of lower bearing to back of side of upper bearing, using this piece of light gauge pipe cut to... What the hell? I mean, these are the...
Locking washers. Rewire yeah. it. Yeah.
These are the MacGyvers of masturbation.
Show title! Show title.
We're talking about... these are some serious, like, mad scientists at home constructing their little orgasm machines.
That's about it.
And I mean, the thing looks like it's industrial strength for sure. It bolts down, but it's pink.
It's pink.
It's like they're taking all this metal stuff, machining it. I mean, they probably work at machine shops, and then they paint it pink.
Oh, God.
Yeah, which is
Dave, I'm never going to be able to go. Sometimes my husband and I will go to Home Depot, you know, together because we have a project, something, you know, like we're going to build a fence at home or something. I'm never going to be able to look any other man in the eye, any person in the eye, in any of those aisles that can when they're looking.
Especially if the special
tools and attachments.
Especially the tools or attachments are pink.
For that.
Oh, yeah. So this continues on to all these like the tool pictured above it's a reciprocating saw adapter.
Uh-huh.
Customers who bought this item also bought a vacuum lock double penetrator. So people are attaching double penetrators to reciprocating saws. just wrap your mind around that for just a moment, please.
We'll give you a minute to pull over and
talk. You need, because that's who's holding this thing for him.
One of the things with that reciprocating saw attachment, I'm going to read one more here. Says, I purchased this to clean my grout. The adapter comes with two pieces that go into the saw. Guess they aware it just to kink. I don't know. You just misspelled it. And give a replacement. Anyway, it worked well on the grout, broke pieces after about 10 square feet of grout. Cheap. That's what you'd say, you know, that's what you'd think you're going to get for this. But no, someone's using it for a sex adapter. The next one, it says, work wonderfully for remodeling our bedroom, a great alternative to find overpriced adapters. Bring a smile to your wife's face when you finish what you started with this handy device.
Once you attach that... that Vacu-Lock double penetrator.
Exactly.
which, by the way, the Vacu-Lock double penetrator is recommended with 3.5 stars for $16.65 on Amazon. So,
and they blurred out the double penetrator there.
They did, but they do not offer Prime shipping. So,
yeah,
beware.
It's not the toys. It's the reviews. Come your thoughts.
Because nothing says romance like the sound of a compressor humming to life. I'm just like, I don't get this. My mind immediately went to Tim Allen, you know, I'm talking about rewiring things and making it more powerful, you know, dishwashers that actually shoot dishes out of the back wall and stuff.
Oh, I remember that episode. I just tweaked the dishwasher, honey. Oh, what'd you do? I gave it more power. Ping! Yeah, I remember that episode.
I mean, your bidet. I rewired your bidet, honey.
No. Oh, fuck that. Oh. No.
I'm married to a carpenter construction worker, and so I'm looking at these tools and things, and I'm like, I'm not a piece of drywall or a 2x4, thank you. It's like, you know, talking about getting, I don't know, well, anyway, I guess people are going to be creative and good for them, you know. Get an A in shop.
Yes.
You get a, yeah. Whether you get an A in romance, I don't know.
Yes.
But of
who am I? Who am I to stand in the way of true love or true sex between two people?
So. Right. Exactly.
But it's not with them, because in these reviews, everyone just bought it for their friend.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. There was this one that I have to read this one, because this is. On the second page here, it says, "Beware! Product not warranted and broke very easily." Okay, just wrap your mind around that for just about 2 seconds. Bought this for a friend. The handle is glued on and only fastened with what could be considered a small drywall screw. Ouch! Wait a minute. You're talking about genital areas here, and you're going to put in a drywall screw? Okay, sure. For the torque that will be placed on this handle, that's part of what this says. It says, for the torque that will be placed on this handle, this needs much better fastening design. I would think twice about this product. Unless the company replaces this, and I would retract this if they do, then I would go elsewhere for this toy. It's sad, as my friend really enjoyed this product. So,
is drywall screw it? Code word for something, because there's lubricants for that.
Oh my gosh. Anybody any last thoughts on this article today?
Yeah, I mean, there is lubricant for that, but in this review down here it says zero friction.
Oh my gosh.
So just throwing that out there.
I'm going to read one more. This was a 5-star. It said, blew her mind. Got this because she had a fantasy to use a machine I was controlling. She went in with no expectations and within 30 seconds had an uncontrollable orgasm. Asked for it the next night with the same results.
Sorry, I can't hear that, and I think it's a serial killer.
Now, let's take a moment for a PSA. There are people out there who enjoy these, and we're not making fun of you. It's
no.
Okay to do whatever you want with your sex life. Just, it's weird, okay?
Yeah. If you want to use something like this...
Remember your safe words.
Yeah, remember your safe words, and always take a control, and make sure you take the controls and do it yourself, because you... Especially if you get tied down and someone has those controls, you've lost. Joe in the chat room said, "Dave, you're going to really enjoy that product."
Oh, yeah, because he's buying it for a friend. Get it? Yeah.
I didn't realize you needed a journeyman's card for using sex toys, but evidently you might. So you might check with your carpenters union.
Yeah, check with your local electrician and carpenter, I guess. Anyway, speaking of things like weird that cost money, we're going to give you some special information on how you can contact us and maybe give us money if you want to, and right after this.
You should contact us by email at ppapodcast or packardpokesat@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter as @packardpokesat and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/packardpokesat or just type packardpokesat into the Facebook search bar. Call our Google Voice at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727 and leave a short message and we will play it on the show. Join in the show live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time at vaughnlive.tv/packardpokesat. Download and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Mixler Radio, and watch the show on YouTube. Visit our show page at packardpokesat.wordpress.com for links to the stories and purchase merchandise from cafepress.com/packardpokesat to support the show. For everyone that rates us, you are awesome sauce.
And thank you, Joe. Even though he's not here, He managed to figure out a way to get in here. Oh, I said last week that the Patreon thing, we still have Patreon. If you go to Patreon, that's patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, patreon.com/PackardPokesAt, you can still donate to the show if you want to and help, you know, help keep us on the air for as little as a buck. So if you don't want to support us with a dollar or two or whatever, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and put in there how you like the show, what you like about the show, and that would really help us out. So anyway, we'll get on to our next topic for this evening.
Hold it right there, Bob. What kind of civilized people eat the body and blood of their savior?
Our discussion topic tonight is we're going to be talking about misinformed things people, or theists mainly, will say about atheists. And we're going to put the timer up. There it is. And the timer starts now. And Connie, your thoughts.
Well, I don't see how anyone or anything else can tell us what our purpose is.
Right.
And then again, what if there is no cosmic purpose? How does that cheapen life?
Mm-hmm.
And how does our existence become meaningless by the knowledge that we are chemicals or animals or just not God's pottery class project? So,
right.
You know, which is what makes religion so puzzling to me, because its goal isn't self-discovery, but replication and adoration of a god or gods.
Mm-hmm.
So purpose is where I find it, and my life is what I make of it. So purpose is kind of a vague word, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find purpose in loving people and loving my family, and, you know, my purpose might change at any time, but it's not up to some, you know, and I think that religion is just, the purpose of religion is to worship God and become like him and bring as many believers as possible to him so they won't die at, you know, so other people won't die at God's hands, and they like to imbue that with a lot of meaning, but I don't see how that is rising above the boundaries of being a bag of chemicals, you
right.
know, so, yeah, no, purpose is directed in every day of my life, so and it's not as big a deal, I don't think, as people want to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I kind of dropped the ball there. That's what tonight's topic is. Why atheists have no purpose in life. So, but we do have purpose. And well, I'll tell you what. Let Dave go on there first. Dave, your thoughts.
Yeah, as Connie said, the purpose of mainly the Abrahamic religions is to praise God.
Mm-hmm.
It's more in Christianity, they say it's to praise God itself, which includes the Trinity with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, whereas in Islam, it's more praising Allah, which is the God. Because they put a lot of stress on it being monotheistic and it's just God. And,
right.
But then I was interested, I looked into other religions, and I found in Hinduism, they have essentially four different purposes that they go for, and their purposes would be Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. I'm not certain about my pronunciation here, but it would be fulfilling one's purpose, prosperity, desire, sexuality, enjoyment, and enlightenment. If you were to look at Buddhism, their purpose would be in Buddhism, the primary purpose of life is to end suffering.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Taoism, for example, philosophical Taoism or secular Taoism is basically to live in accordance with the Tao.
Mm-hmm.
But then in religious Taoism, the purpose would be attaining immortality. And when you look at religions all over the world, one of the main claims that they make is that they're able to tell you what your purpose in life is. And it's interesting to me that the purpose of life is such a philosophical question that's really difficult to pinpoint. And really, we're the first beings, first organic life forms that have had the ability to really ponder these questions. Every form of life prior to us has just wanted to replicate and have sex and eat and poop, and that's about their purpose. And, yep. And now we have the capability to turn around and say, well, why are we here? Well, you know, lots of religions are going to claim to be able to tell you that, but, you know, I don't think that any of them have that answer. They're just claims. And it's interesting that, especially in the Abrahamic faiths and in Christianity, which is Christians are who I primarily, and who all of us really in this setting, mm-hmm. primarily deal with, when exactly. they ask what our purpose in life is, they're really projecting a lot of different stuff from Christian scripture.
Right.
They're asking about morality. They're asking about, you know, if we don't have something to worship, then what are we a slave to, essentially? Because that's what their scripture tells them, is that their purpose is to worship this deity. So if we have nothing to worship, we're not a slave to anything. I mean, they specifically say that we shouldn't turn around and say that we give ourselves purpose.
Right.
If we decide being good for the sake of being good is not good enough for religious people, because that in itself does not give worship to God.
Right.
And it keeps people in line with scriptures, and it keeps that control, and that's really what it's all about. When they're asking us what our purpose is, it's this loaded question that involves, you know, where do you derive your morality? What do you worship?
Right.
More so than what is your purpose specifically.
Right. I say, when they say, what is your purpose in life? Don't you have a purpose? Like, when I was a Christian, your purpose was, you know, as Connie said, to worship God, you know, and hopefully, you know, go to heaven to, you know, make your deity happy, and so you could live for supposedly forever after you die. Now, as that I'm an atheist, my purpose is to raise my children. And then once they're gone, is to make life around me for the people who I know, and even the people I don't know, try to make my community a better place to live overall for everybody. Whether it's just helping one person who's fallen in the street, or picking up a piece of trash, or whatever. It's a matter of, that is my purpose. And that's what all of our purposes are, to make life better for everybody else around us, not just...
In that sense, I think that Buddhism makes more sense than Christianity in the way that they say that the purpose in Buddhism is to end suffering, and the Buddha did... The teachings of Buddha was that humans suffer because of our striving for things. We hold on to things, friends, health, materials.
The stuff desire.
The desire, stuff that doesn't last.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. And the Buddhist teachings push you away. I'm obviously not a Buddhist.
That's time. Yeah, and no, I'm not a Buddhist either, but I mean, they have some very interesting teachings in that, but they also got some crazy things in there, so that's why I'm not a Buddhist. But
Indeed.
Anyway, no, we'll be back again. We're going to be doing this all month with some other things that misinformed atheists say about atheists. So be sure to check us out every Friday, because we're going to have something new, that things that theists say about atheists that generally isn't true. Okay, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
And on tonight's Did You Know They're an Atheist, we're going to be discussing? I can't speak tonight. We'll be discussing Kevin Bacon. And he's been, if you ever heard of Kevin Bacon, there's this great meme. It's not even really a meme. It's like a game. It's called 7 Degrees of Bacon, where you try to see how close
six,
you...
6 degrees.
Is it 6 degrees? 6 degrees of bacon. You try to get how many
more
people...
More bacon!
More bacon! Bacon will change your life. Try to get as close to or as far away from Kevin Bacon as you possibly can, or see how close you can get to Kevin Bacon within so many actors. And it was an internet thing, and they actually gave a prize away for the farthest one that you could get away from it. And I think the degrees of bacon was like at 11 or 12 at that point. So they connect one person to another, to another, to another, so you could connect all these people together. It's a really, and you could do this now. They've got it set up so you can connect up pretty much anybody, that as long as they're in their database. But anyway, we're not talking about that. But it's just an interesting meme. But Kevin Bacon, there was an article interviewed by Wendy Idle. He was from the Outsider Wants In, the London Times, or the Times from London, on December 1st, 2005, in page 20. He says, "I think there is a puritanical wind that is blowing. I have never seen such a lack of separation between church and state in America. I don't believe in God, but if I did, I would say that sex is a God-given right. Otherwise, it's the end of our species." So right there he says he does not believe in God. Dave, your thoughts?
Kevin Bacon is a multi-talented man. He can dance. He sings in the Bacon Brothers Band,
mm-hmm.
where his band actually plays gigs for different charities that promote separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, when he learned of this game that you're talking about, the 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon,
mm-hmm.
initially he had thought that it was going to destroy his reputation and that everyone was making fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he turned it into a nonprofit organization, that's 6degrees.org, where he gets people to come up with different ideas that they want to donate for charity. Mm-hmm. And then he'll have them go out and campaign to try to gain people to donate to that cause, right?
Right.
Instead of giving grants to people who collect the most money, he gives grants to people who collect the most donations, no matter what the denomination of the donation is.
Right.
Because the idea is social networking. It's that the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, everyone's connected. So the idea is that everyone's connected. And then you can see what different celebrities give to. And if you know, people like to buy the same clothes as celebrities, so why not donate to the same charity as a celebrity? But
that's great.
The thing is that I think it's really interesting and really great that he is an atheist, and he's showing that you truly can be good without God, and you can truly go out and make a difference in the world and promote charity and, you know, just make the world a better place without any religious dogma or anything like that. And still, at the same time, he advocates separating church and state. So all around, I think he's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah. My sick bones in the chat room. I thought Kevin Bacon was just a ham actor. He was also in the movie Tremors 1 and 2, as I recall. I don't think he was in 3.
He was.
Yeah.
That's a little bit less of an accomplishment.
Well, I liked the movie. I thought it was kind of funny, actually. I was like, most people think it was a horror movie, but it kind of was and wasn't.
They were great movies.
Yeah, right? They were funny. Yeah, they were quite funny movies. Connie, your thoughts?
His mother, Ruth Hilda, was an elementary school teacher and a liberal activist. I have to wonder, you know, the apple not falling very far from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really excited to hear, first of all, that Kevin Bacon was not just an atheist, but a very thoughtful and progressive, you know, active, politically and socially active person. And I like to see when people, you know, with fame and recognition use that power for a lot of really good stuff. I went to the Bacon Brothers website and I listened to a couple of their songs. They've got a couple of videos on there and then some other songs from different albums. They've got 6 albums.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really good stuff. Kind of, a couple of them were kind of bluesy, you know, riffs and things.
When you said the Bacon Brothers, I picture a couple of strips of bacon with little eyeballs on them and dancing.
Well, actually, earlier today, somebody made some post about bacon, and so I have Kevin Bacon on my mind, and so I have bacon eating bacon. It was a baconception. Can never have. What was it? You know, Jim Gaffigan says, "I think the reason that Kevin Bacon is really popular is because his last name is Bacon. Because who would have gone to see a movie with a Kevin hot dog?"
Let the wiener jokes begin.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said let the wiener jokes begin.
I guess his first big film was Animal House. You know, and again, I think I've watched Animal House once. It wasn't really my cup of tea for a very long time.
Right.
First time I knew I saw him in a movie was Friday the 13th. He's laying on his cot, and the killer
mm-hmm.
kills him from underneath with an arrow. through the throat. It was kind of an interesting graphic effect. But my favorite role is probably still as, you know, Ren in Footloose. And a lot of fun movie.
Yeah.
And actually, the first time I watched Footloose, you know, I really didn't know what to think about the religious aspect because I was a Christian at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back on it now and I go, I really love the message of that movie, and I think they did a good job.
Yes.
So, good movie is Stir of Echoes. So he's done a lot of stuff. His first Tremors movie was kind of fun. I don't know about any of the others, but it's just an action movie. But good for him. I think I like that he's very vocal about his, and he seems like he's, you know, his words and his actions are in line with regards to doing public good without God.
Right, exactly. And he does it without being have to be super crispy, you know, like bacon. maybe he's super crispy. I don't know.
But does he smell like hickory?
I've never been that close to the man. I couldn't tell you if he smells like hickory. But if he does,
well, have then to get past Kira Sedgwick first.
Right. Anyway, look up Kevin Bacon up on the IMDb, and you get to find out more of all the videos he's actually been involved with. And yes, he is an atheist. Okay, well, that's it for us tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming. We'll be back next week with our regular longer show. And remember, if you want to donate to the show, you can go to patreon.com/PackardPokeSat, and you can still make a donation and help support the show and help it keep us on the air. Or if you can't do that, please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio and rate us there. We would really greatly appreciate it. It brings up our rankings. And don't keep us a secret. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell everybody that'll listen. Go out and stream Packard Pokeshead out on the street, you know, until the cops come and take you away like the crazies for saying that. So.
Proselytize.
Proselytize the Packard Pokeshead.
Be a Packard evangelist.
Packard evangelist. We need Packard evangelists out there. So get out there.
We want Packard, and we're not taking it anymore.
Demand Packard Pokeshead in your schools.
That's right. Demand in your schools, your prison cells. You know. See, that's why what they do is to force confessions out of the prisoners in Guantanamo. They play the show, and that's.
Yeah. Soon we're going to have a Packard Pokeshead logo as a monument on the Florida State Capitol.
Sure, right, why not?
Right next to the Satanism one.
Right. I'm going to go. You know, if they get that Satanism thing there, I'm going to get some Packard Pokeshead stickers. I'm going to put them all over all the statues and everything else that's over there. So. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We'll be back again next week. This has been Packard Pokeshead. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.